You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 2 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Welcome to Cosmic Channels. Open minds on cosmic lines. To call in to future episodes, the number is 1-833-703-0424. The show is recorded live the second and fourth Sunday of every month. Please subscribe to Alien Theorists Theorizing on YouTube to watch it live, or patreon.com/alientheoristspodcast to watch on demand. The cosmic channels are open. All right, we're live.
Woo, I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
And tonight, back on Cosmic Channels, baby, sub sans Andrew.
He might make a late appearance, but I don't know. I got a really bad... Oh, there it goes. I had a bad echo, but... holy! Listen, the heat wave coming across the Pacific Northwest is unbelievable. It's hotter here than Mexico today.
It's insane.
But anyways, let's get right into the Cosmic Channels. If you got any crazy stories, UFO, theories on conspiracies, you've seen aliens, you've seen cryptids... Your thoughts on the universe, we want to know. Now's your chance to call, talk to us live, 1-833-703-0424. You got a good story? Fuck you, call us.
Boom, you heard the man, and just like that, we got someone on the line. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Hey guys, what's going on?
What's going good on, brother? Man?
First call of the night. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Calvin from Parts Unknown.
Yeah.
I like it.
Your right of the week 2 weeks ago. I'm the guy with the ZZ Top beard on the...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Cheers, man. Thanks for the call.
You inspired me to call in. So
perfect. Was it the swearing and cussing you out?
Was it the fuck you call us? Is that what sold you?
Yeah. Watch this. Fuck you. I will call.
All right.
Perfect.
There you go.
It's working.
Worked. Yeah.
but I got a ghost story for you.
Hell yeah. Let's hear it.
All right. So for some context, I'm a retired police officer. I've seen all in a busy area. I've seen all kinds of shit. I used to work for a funeral home, transport and delivering bodies. So I've been in all kinds of weird, creepy situations. But this was back when I was in college. I was working security at a hospital, and they had different campuses around. And you got sent to different ones, and I always hated to go to this old one. It was like a... just far away, pain in the ass, but it was kind of creepy too. Only one that ever gave me creeps. But so I go in there working midnight shift to you relieve the guy, and there's a conference room downstairs, and he's like, hey, there's food in there. You know, it's kind of a common practice. They leave the food from the meetings that end, and you go in there, college kid, you're eating free food. And so I'm in there loading up my plate. And basically, well, I'm wearing a security uniform with a duty belt and a Kevlar vest, and I feel like a finger on the back, like where my shoulder blades, and it runs all the way down to my duty belt, like someone poked you and then ran their finger down.
Oh, man.
And I turn around, and I'm trying to figure out, like, what the fuck was that? And probably took me, you know, 10 seconds, and I'm like, fuck this, I'm out of here. You know, put my food down and walked out. And later on, I'm thinking about it through the night. I'm like, I didn't imagine it. I'm wearing this vest. It was a poke, you know, and I'm ended up talking to a couple of the older ladies that worked there. The one lady had been there like 30 years. And I was like, that's kind of creepy down there. And she's like, oh, yeah, that's the old ER. It's like haunted as hell.
Mm.
And she said, did you see anybody? And I was like, no, kind of felt somebody. And she said, there's dozens of stories of a guy. They all described him the same, wearing jeans, no shirt, holding his arm, walking around.
That's,
and when the nurses
would
go to check on him. Yeah. The nurses would go to check on him or find him. They could never find him. So that out of all my weird experiences, that's the one I could just never explain.
Oh.
And that's the only I've been in 100 funeral homes and morgues and everything. And that's the only one that ever gave me like the creeps. It's like when we had to transport bodies there, it was like open the door and shove them in and call it good. But
it kind of makes sense because, you know, we've talked about it many times before of like, you know, those traumatic deaths where, you know, people cling to life. And if this was an old ER, right, you would see a lot of that passing through, would be my guess. So, you know, the chance for lingering spirits would probably be higher there than in just like a regular old funeral home. That was all it was,
I'd say.
Yeah. And like I said, out of all the weird shit I've seen, that's the one I could just never explain. And I know I didn't imagine it. And that was the one that's like it. I always think of, like, when say people always say, what's the weirdest thing you saw or you know, happened to you? I always say that one. So
now when you felt the finger go down your spine, was it like, did they push, was it like just on your clothing, or did you feel it like actually push into your skin? Like feel the pressure?
Into the clothing. Like it would be like a person would walk up and touch you and then just run their finger down your back. And I, like I say, I was wearing this Kevlar vest, you know, there was some pressure there, and that was the thing. It's like I'm in this room by myself.
Oh man,
that was the creepiest.
Gave me some shivers. What are your thoughts or theories on like the supernatural, ghosts and such? What do you think that is?
I like in my family, like my, you know, grandpa and grandma's always told stories about their old house was haunted and stuff. So, I mean, I guess I grew up with it, but that's the first experience I've had where, actually like an experience, but then also you can, you know, you get that feeling. And like I say, I've delivered, bodies to morgues where I'm the only person out. There's 20 people and they're dead and you don't get any weird feeling, but I always got a weird feeling down in that area when we had to do that morgue.
Fuck. How long did you do that job for?
That was for 3 years, and then I went to work for the police department after that.
Crazy.
And then after that, I mean, that was it. Like, that was my only supernatural event.
Cool.
So I just wanted to call and share it. I appreciate it.
No, thanks. That's a legit freaky ghost encounter.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. Keep up the show. I enjoyed it. I've been listening to you since the beginning.
Hey, man, we appreciate the support.
All right. We'll see you.
Have a good one.
All right. Bye.
What was the actual, like, finger down the spine?
It's creepy. I don't like that.
Nope.
Never been touched by a ghost.
No.
But I don't want to be. I imagine it would give you the heebie-jeebies forever. A nice ghost call to kick things off tonight. But again, our topic isn't ghosts, it's anything. So
anything.
You don't feel like you heard a ghost story, you have to tell a ghost story. We'll take any call you want. You got UFO stories, alien stories, poltergeist stories, Slenderman stories, Bigfoot stories, Chupacabra stories. Fuck you, call us. We want to hear them.
Boom, just like that. Yeah, they listened.
Hey, listen.
Hello, Cosmic Channels.
It's working.
It's working everywhere.
Oh my God, like seriously? Like I'm on here with y'all?
Hey, brother, welcome.
Yeah,
welcome to the show.
Oh my God, okay. So I'm sorry. I'm already freaking out because I'm excited. Yeah.
No freaking out. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Okay. My name's Jack. I'm from Indiana.
Right on, Zach. Thanks for calling.
All right. My thing I wanted to talk about was Gettysburg.
Gettysburg? Like that Civil War?
Yeah.
Civil War battle?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I went there about like 12 years ago or so.
Yeah.
So honestly don't remember, you know, that much, but it's just the whole town, like, I mean, it has such a vibe, and, you know, I kind of wanted, like, your guys' thoughts on, you know, just, like, what, you know, could cause, like, such, I don't know if any of y'all have been there before, but there's just a serious feeling throughout the whole place.
No, I have not. Dan, have you been?
Yeah, I've been once or twice.
Yeah.
Did you get that eerie feeling? Yeah.
No. I live in Virginia, and like I said, in Virginia, the whole state is a battleground during the Civil War. There were thousands of people who died and were slaughtered where they stand. They, you know, just standing off, facing off. It was the Civil War. It's brutal fighting. When you weren't standing in columns of lines shooting at each other from 100 feet apart, you were fucking beating some guy to death with the back of your gun. Yeah. So, if I were to get something creepy, like that vibe. Gettysburg was a huge battle. It was a decisive battle. I don't think it was actually, might have been the biggest one. I don't know. But definitely it was a decisive battle and the whole thing like that. But I mean, it's beautiful scenery.
Someone from the outside, like, who hasn't, you know, Dan, because, you know, you don't know the vibe because you're in it, right? Like, you're in the thick of it.
I've been to Gettysburg. I've also been to Antietam. Antietam's another, like, was another important battlefield. Like, it was one of the first battles of the Civil War. And I camped out there. Like, I actually spent the night there on the battlefield. It was during when I was in Boy Scouts. Like, stood there and nothing. Like, I don't remember really anything, getting any really creepy vibes as a kid.
Well, I've never been to Gettysburg, so I can't speak on that, but like, I've, like, two places that really popped to the forefront of my mind where I've had that kind of feeling where I'm like, just the, even the air kind of feels a little off, was the Kaling Fields in Cambodia when I went there. And I think it's a really eerie feeling because you're walking around and you're listening to headphones, so everything's really quiet. And it's just, there's all this death and mayhem that happened around. And I did get that weird, like, I'm like, ooh, it just feels like this is a weird energy around here. And then another one there's this forensic hospital in Thailand where there's, like, just, it's super fucking creepy. They have dissected bodies and murder weapons. And they have a guy who used to eat children fully preserved standing. You look eye to eye. And the vibe in there is just off. So I get what you say, like, I think some of these places can have some sort of that, like, that just energy that you can just pick up of, like, you know, it's a little fucked up, especially when you're going there and learning specifically about those things, though.
Yeah. So I, of course, like, I went on a ghost tour one night while I was there, and, like, while I was on the tour, I didn't actually see anything, but, you know, like, we were taking pictures of, you know, the stuff we saw, and then actually, like, got some pictures developed, and, like, looking through them, and, like, in the window of one, I'm not sure what building it was, but you can see an orb in the window, and, you know, not trying to, like, see things, but I swear it looks like there's a face, like, in that orb, and it is so just
creepy,
eerie seeing that. Yeah.
Send us a picture. We want to see it.
Yeah. Send it in.
Send it in. AlienTheorist@gmail.com. And give us a description.
Happy to take a look.
We'll throw it on next week, or if you can get it over before the end of the show, maybe we'll throw it on at the end of before the end of the episode. But that's the shit we want to see.
Yeah, I don't want to take up too much more time, but I want to say, you know, thank you guys for having me. I truly love all of you. Very sad Andrew's not on here.
Don't be.
Yeah.
And I do have a case file suggestion. I'd love to see, you know, conspiracies behind Pearl Harbor.
Oh yeah, that'd be a good one.
Yeah, that's
be good. I mean, me and Dan always like to talk about that kind of stuff on ATT Confidential on Patreon. We love doing war themed stuff.
That'd be good
so
on there.
That would be right down our alley.
Yeah. Definitely.
All right. Well, thank you guys again for having me, and take care. Love y'all.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Zach.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, because, like, Gettysburg, they always say, like, they see, like, people see, like, them, all the, like, the soldiers in their military garb and...
Well, what's that? I mean, we talked, we always pops up the tape theory or whatever.
The stone tape theory.
Stone tape theory, where it's, like, you know, these memories are, like, preserved.
like trapped in the, there,
trapped in the like dirt and soil and air and just in this vicinity, and it just replays, right? And we see it as like, you know, maybe it's a thinning of the veil and you're seeing back into it, because, but you know, it's hard to say exactly what it is.
Yeah, I know. Like I said, that just reminded me. I was like, oh yeah, I've actually spent the night at a, I don't know if it's Antietam or New Market. I've been to a couple. I think it might have been New Market, where that was actually one of the more brutal battles of the Civil War, and spent the night there, camped out, and nothing. I don't remember really anything weird happening.
Maybe we're just too young.
Maybe, but then we always say that younger kids are more susceptible to these kind of
things. How young were you?
You've had like a brain of like a 30-year-old your whole life.
That's true.
Dan turned 7 and his brain instantly matured to that of a full-grown adult.
Yeah.
Yes, father, I would like some more pudding.
And he turns British.
Yeah.
I don't know. Those places can be, you know, whatever you feel about those places, it's like, it's, they're whatever you take in there with you. It's my kind of theory about it.
That makes sense. If you're open to it, you know, you feel it. And if you're not, you don't.
Well, I'm not saying that. Well, not even if you don't believe it. There's probably plenty of evidence to be like, some people are like ghost to ghosts. You're just not, you could be sensitive to it and just not
even know,
appeal to it. Yeah. And just like, I don't know. It just doesn't come out.
All right. Got another caller. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Hey, this is Jake from Irving. Hey, how you guys doing?
Great. What do you got for us tonight?
So I was wanting to talk about the Indian agricultural theory and like how it kind of grew. Like, I kind of have this theory where like I feel like we kind of originated from the Mesopotamian like civilization. I don't know. Like, I've kind of done a little bit of research, but maybe not enough to be like, this is in fact a fact, but all the facts kind of lead me to believe it. So I'm going to believe it, I guess. It's a theory.
All right, let's hear it.
So I don't know if you guys know, but the Mesopotamians and the Egyptians and most of the Middle Eastern civilizations did irrigation through, like, they use rivers and like streams as opposed to like relying on like the rain, because obviously those places were kind of arid and they didn't receive as much as rain. So they had to like kind of be smart and either like conserve the rain that they got, or they had to kind of use the rivers to kind of divert water to like create dams and stuff like that, and then use that water to like irrigate their stuff. And if you kind of look at it, you kind of see that pattern only in certain civilizations, like going forward, and they all kind of move out from the Middle East, like towards Europe and towards like Asia and stuff like that. When you look at China, their irrigation is like completely different from that of most of Europe and like even India, I feel. Like, they use more of the step irrigation as opposed to the, like, you know, irrigation from like rivers and stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
And so I've been like, kind of following that, and I feel like in India, at least in the south part of India, like, I feel people have been moving like towards the south, because that's usually where you get the tropic climate, where there's like a lot of forest and you have like rivers and stuff and they flow into the ocean, as opposed to like more towards the northern hemisphere, where you have like more mountains and stuff like that, where you always have water. So we're talking about the places that don't have water, and that's why I feel like the South Indians were more from the Harappan civilization. I don't know if you guys know about that place, the Mohenjo-Daro civilization. It's somewhere near Pakistan, Gujarat.
Yeah, we
that part of India.
We talked about it on the Vimana's case file a little bit.
Yes, sir. And so they have like a civilization that just kind of basically just upped and disappeared, and they found like a little bit trace elements of like radiation and stuff like that. So there's a lot of theories there, but my thing is like, people, the only reason that people will move from one place to another is either a lack of water or a lack of food, or other reasons like that, they're just not going to up and move for like the slowest things. But according to like the Ramayana and the Mahabharata and the stuff like you guys were talking about in Vimanas, there was a river that flowed through that place that was right next to Mahendadara. And the only reason that we don't know about it is because it dried up. And in the stories, it was about how there was a great flood on that river and then how it dried up right after. And I feel like that kind of coincides, like the time period of that is kind of around the same time that the last melt from the Great Ice Age kind of happened.
Okay.
So it was like around that same time period. So it would make sense that would, that there would be a huge flow of water and then the water would stop. So people would kind of either have to move because of the whole flooding, or they would have to move after the fact where there was like no water, and they kept moving south, and that kind of led them along the peninsula of India to where they ended up in like Sri Lanka and South India, and where there were already civilizations, but they had been abandoned because of the whole volcanic eruption of forget the name, Krakatoa.
I was like, that's in Indonesia, right? So, Krakatoa?
Yeah. Yeah, Krakatoa was the volcanic eruption that happened in Indonesia. But according to the theory of the Krakatoa thing, it threw up so much ash that it like kind of blocked out the sun for a good amount. And it did create tremors and tsunamis and stuff. So there is, kind of, I don't know if you guys have seen, there's this place in Sri Lanka called Adam's Peak. Or Adam's cave system there, and they found like ancient humans that were killed by the Krakatoa volcano.
Oh, okay.
So I'm figuring the people that kind of moved from Mahendadaro and kind of moved south found these existing remnants of a few population, either people that survived or like their old existing villages and stuff. And they kind of just kind of integrated themselves with that population. And that's what we kind of, that's why you kind of see that the South Indians, Africans, and like the Australian natives of the Aborigines, they all kind of share a really big amount of genetic DNA. And I feel like that's one of the main reasons. It's just because we're all kind of from that same gene pool, I guess. Well, anyways, this is just a theory, and it was built based off your guys' show, and I was inspired by y'all, and I was like, So, this is my theory.
So you're saying that that one civilization was more advanced, and they ended up intermingling with other humans, and that's where a lot of descendants come from? Is your main, like, pretty much your theory?
And they carried their knowledge from wherever they migrated. Like the agricultural stuff, and you can kind of still see that, like them bringing what they had plus what people existing already stayed, whoever like lived in those areas, whatever technology they had, and the kind of marriage between those kind of led to the whole.
The only issue that I would have with this theory, that like seems like when we're talking about like, you know, looking at the evidence of like agriculture and stuff like that, is that like, we know with the finding of Göbekli Tepe that it blows like any of these civil, like it's so far back beyond like our known of what existed. And it would appear that this city way above sea level could potentially be the birthplace of agriculture, which is also strange because there's no water. There's none of this stuff around that you would think that civilizations like this would, you know, start from. So that leads me to believe that perhaps there was civilizations even before Göbekli Tepe that were maybe washed away in a great flood, right? So when we start to look at these civilizations that we know of, you know, I still have to, there's still too many unknowns about Göbekli Tepe, and that predates all of this, right? So it's like, there's that kind of like gray area for sure, but you know, as we start to dig this up more, we're only going to learn more and more.
Because I like it. When you guys were talking about Göbekli Tepe, I was thinking about the dig that's going on in South India right now, where they found like clay pottery and gold and stuff. But for some reason, the Indian government's not really trying to prioritize that. They're like, no, let's just keep this on the down low for now, because like stuff is really shaky as it is, I guess.
All right. Yeah, no, hey man, thanks for calling.
But, I mean, thank you guys for taking my call, and thanks for doing your show. I really like it, and I hope y'all do the best. Great. I mean, cheers.
Yeah, man. Hey, you coming up with theories like that? That's exactly what the show's about. Like, just looking into stuff, connecting dots, making theories. It's fun.
Cheers, guys. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Take care.
Thanks.
I think that was one of our first calls where someone's like, I just have a theory based on listening to the show. I've connected some dots. Yeah. I loved it. If you've got your own Zell's grand theory of everything that you've connected some dots and you wanted to share a portion of it, you know, sure. We want to hear it.
Yeah. I mean, if you can say it in 5 or 7 minutes, call in and give your theory of everything. All right. We got another caller.
Well, fuck you. Call us.
There you go. Boom. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you. Love the show. My name is Lou. I'm from Baltimore. I have a little UFO story.
Yes.
I love it already.
Nothing too crazy. I think it was probably back in 2011 or 2010. I wasn't yet of legal drinking age, but we were down in Ocean City, Maryland, a couple buddies and I, kind of in the summertime, just where you go. And buddy and I, one night, walked down to the beach. Before everything started, it's around dusk, and we're just hanging out, shooting the shit, having a couple of smokes and a couple of beers. And we look out, and there's, in the sky, it's like an orb. It's just, it's a light in the sky. First thing, it's a helicopter. It's Ocean City, Maryland, so it's not too unbelievable to think like you're seeing a reflection of light on like an airplane coming into BWI or something like that.
Right.
But this thing's like coming and going. It's fading in and out, the brightness of the light. It's going up and down real quick and all this. And we're kind of like, what the fuck is that? I mean, neither one of us are superstitious or ever seen anything we call a UFO again. Before that, rather. And then we're watching it, and it's just hanging out, doing its thing. And something strange that happens is along the shoreline, there's like probably anywhere between like 8 to 12, it's been a long time, ships, like fishing ships, or I don't know, they were kind of big, and they were running parallel to the shore. And as the light's fading in the night, this thing is still up there, coming and going. At one point, it disappeared for maybe like 10 or 15 minutes and showed up again. They're running parallel, and they make a right turn. They head out to the water. And it's just all bizarre. They have their big, like, big floodlights on. They're just searching the water. They get the light shine on the water, and they head out to sea. And by this time, our friends have joined us, and we're kind of like, that was strange. Come out and find the next day that they found a body on a raft at sea. And my memory serves me correctly, the body was decapitated. So I'm not trying to connect those two things, but we saw something in the sky that looked completely unfamiliar. And it kind of has all the trademarks of some kind of alien floating orb thing. And a missing person report at the same time. So that's my UFO story. And I met this guy at Bethlehem Ranch at the bar the other day, and we talked about it, and we both still have the chills when we think about it. So,
weird.
What I got.
How long was the orb? Did you witness it again?
Like, how long ago?
Like, how long did you notice it in the sky?
Oh, it was like there for like an hour. It must have been an hour, if I can remember correctly.
Like
it's been about a decade.
Extended period.
Huh. Yeah, it was up and down.
Colored flashing lights, anything like that, or just pretty well the same one?
No flashing lights, no sounds. I mean, that's a part of the coast where you get those kind of annoying ass little Cessnas that fly around with banners on them. Yeah. You get helicopters, you get people who parachute, and it's, you know, it was nothing like you see at Ocean City. It was really weird.
Yeah, it looked out of place.
Really weird. Yeah.
So an alien ET orb may or may not have murdered someone and decapitated them.
Yeah, possibly.
Say, hey, same area, same time. Small
same
chance.
Area, same time.
It's yep.
Just, two odd things at the same place, same time. So
awesome.
So it's a weird one, man. I'd
love to see
honestly,
something like that.
I have got my eyes on the skies more than most people. And I'm just waiting. I'm like, please. And I see a plane and I'm like, oh, and I'm like, it's a plane. God damn it.
Fuck
damn
plane.
It.
Yeah, please be something. But that was, I've never seen anything like it since. And when, you know, people talk about seeing stuff floating in the sky, that's kind of bizarre. It kind of looks like that. So
cool.
That's
hey, man. Thanks for calling in, sharing the story.
Hey, do you know?
Thanks, guys.
Did you say when about this was, like, year wise?
10, 11 years ago.
2010, 2011, because about graduated high school in 2008, and you always go down there for senior week, and then we kind of try and relive that moment for the next 3 or 4 years. So that puts about 2010, 2011.
Right.
So
I always want to know and kind of hammer that out because my hopes is that one day someone's like, someone else called earlier, like, you know, maybe a year from now, someone's like, hey, I heard this call on Cosmic Chat. I had a call and I saw the same thing around the same time. That's my hopes one day.
Yeah, I hope that happens. That'd be cool. I'd love to meet someone who saw the same thing.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, thanks, guys.
Yep.
Keep
it up. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Cheers, man. Take care.
Cheers.
Fuck, I want to see a UFO so bad now because they're real. When you see them, there's no more of this. Like, they're real. There's shit the government doesn't know.
There's something out there.
And said it.
There's something out there.
Okay. Most of the things that you can't explain, neither can the government. So, right? Fair game. All UFOs.
They're unexplained.
I'm starting to question all, you know, you see all those YouTube video and Facebook videos of UFOs. Part of me now is like,
maybe.
Are these real? Are these real now? It's this.
They're as real as you want them to be, Raiden. They're as real as you want them to be.
They're fucking real. All right. One more caller here. Hello.
Just don't base any long-term decisions on them.
Hey.
Hello. Can you hear us?
Am I on?
You're on. You're live.
Awesome. First time, long time, right?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'm Mike. I live in central Wisconsin.
Right on, Mike.
Got a crazy story for you guys.
We're here. We're ready for it.
All right. So it was in the middle of February this last year, and every Friday when I pick up my kids, we always go do something. So we decided to have a fire that night. That night it was about, I mean, it was 20 below. We were still outside, kind of roughing it, you know, keeping them tough.
Yep.
And my dog kept barking and chasing things, and I didn't know what he was chasing after. So after a little while, my son and I go walking down the driveway a little bit. And you could hear something walking across the ice, across the snow. And it was like this ice crusty, really thick snow. Yeah, and you could hear it, exactly. But you couldn't see it.
Crunch, crunch, crunch.
Yeah, but it was really light, though. I mean, I'm talking like if it was a baby or something. But I couldn't see it, but I hear it. So I look down the driveway, and my son and my dog are both staring the exact same direction, and this thing was walking towards us, but it was just tick, 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 real light, but you could tell it was heavy, like maybe 20 pounds or something, but we couldn't see anything. There was nothing visibly there, and it walked right up to us, like within 10 feet, and we were all staring the exact same spot, but we couldn't see anything. And then the dog
that just gave me chills.
Jumped.
Fuck,
dude! And the dog jumped, and you could hear it just pitter patter away. And then it hit to the ditch, and then up to the road. It was all gravel, kind of, so you could hear it. The volume, you know, the I'm all sorry, guys. I'm all crazy telling the story. I don't tell it often, so it was scary as shit. And I'm a big guy. I'm not a big believer in anything unless something happens.
You know
but
why? Because you were basically stalked by a predator. That's where my brain would go
no
to.
No kidding.
But it was like only like, but in my head, the way I heard it, it was a foot and a half tall at best.
It seemed light.
Because it didn't break the ice. It was just on the ice.
And was this, in Wisconsin?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's any, I'm going to look up as we're talking, any Wisconsin, like, fairy
people. There weren't any footprints or anything, or?
No, we went out there, we couldn't see anything. It never broke through the ice, because you know what I mean? It's like 4 inches of snow, but then there's like an ice layer across the top.
Yeah.
Was it how many?
And, but there's, as soon as any of us stepped on it, even the dog stepped on it, it broke it, so. Okay. Crazy.
So there's, you're talking, there's a layer of ice above the snow?
Yeah, like a hard layer.
Correct. Yeah, because it had been warmer than colder, and then it got it was bitter cold for, you know, like a week and a half. It was in the zeros with the wind chill below. So
you guys don't have like coyotes or foxes or anything that would like,
we'd see it.
We do. We do. There's a lot of little stuff around. But
he'd see it. He would have seen it.
So it was like,
it was
straight out. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, it's straight out in front of you. Like,
no fog, no nothing.
It was nighttime. Was it nighttime or daytime?
Nope. And this is, okay, yeah, you got to remember. Okay, so this is the middle of the night. I live out in an old country house, the top of the hill. There's no neighbors. I can sit here and tell you I've never had any other crazy experience in my life.
Right.
I'd love to be able to tell you some Bigfoot story, but I don't have one.
Here's the thing. All right, here we go. I've got two things that call Wisconsin home that this could possibly be. One, and this one's a weird one. I've never heard of this. People in Wisconsin talk about phantom chickens. You see chickens, you hear chickens, and the chicken seems to vanish in air. So I'm thinking, right, like that light, if it was patterned towards you, right, could be one of these phantom chickens that calls Wisconsin home. You know, kind of a weird one, never heard of that.
Does that have a cool name?
The other one, rock-tossing gnomes. They're 3 to 4 feet tall. They have a coned hat. And they vanish right before your eyes. But no rocks were thrown at you.
No rocks.
Right? Those are two possible.
Not that I know of, no. Unless that's what the noise was that the dog heard earlier. But I didn't hear that. That's pretty crazy.
To me, I'm like, it does, you know, it's as funny as it is, it does line up with the fan, like what people say with the phantom chickens, right? Of like seeing and hearing, but nothing to be found, right? And, you know, if you...
Depending on what you believe, I guess if everything has a soul, why not a damn chicken?
Yeah.
Ghost chickens.
A ghost chicken. I mean, honestly, if I could put the noise to it, they would probably line up.
Yeah, but like that type of shuffling, like you could see it maybe as some type of large bird.
Yeah, that would, you know, I could see it as a chicken, I guess, but it definitely was not visible.
Right.
You know, it wasn't, there was no form or anything. It was, and this is also, it was a nice clear night because when it's, you know, balls cold like that, it's always clear. There's never any clouds.
Mm-hmm.
And the moon was out, so there was a nice moon out. And there was no noise, you know, when it's that cold, there's no noise out there, especially once there's snow on the ground. Everything's dead quiet.
Absorbs all sound.
How close to Seymour was this?
Seymour?
Seymour, Wisconsin.
I think that's like 2 hours from me.
So you're in the vicinity of the heart of the ghost chickens.
The ghost chickens.
No shit.
90% of the phantom chickens reported come around the Seymour area.
There's a massive chicken slaughter.
Crazy people up there, or that's where that started, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I've never heard of this, the phantom chickens of Wisconsin before. I just did a quick search of being like, oh, I wonder what kind of monsters Wisconsin had. And this is the one that popped up, and I was like, it kind of adds up. It kind of lines up.
Some light enough not to break through the snow.
Yeah,
but
you hear it.
Yeah.
Big enough that you'd hear it walking on ice without crunching through.
But you don't see anything, and there's no evidence of anything to be found.
No sight, no footprints, no nothing.
Huh. Hey, man, I that's as good. That sounds way better than having a 2-foot predator running around my yard. So
it's a little happier story that way.
Yeah.
Right.
Or you have a 2-foot predator running around.
I wouldn't
around.
Put him in your Cryptothon smashdown, though. He's probably not going to run too hard.
No.
Yeah, he wouldn't make it past qualifiers, I don't think.
He'd be a hype man. We could put him in a hype man's position.
Yeah. Put him in someone's corner.
Yeah.
And those are real. You can look them up. Phantom chickens of Wisconsin. I'm gonna have to.
So I'll see how close I actually end there.
It's real.
Cool. Yeah, it's got to be. All right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for the
call. Thanks for the story.
Right, take care.
It's good.
Right, people in the chat were saying like it could have been something under the snow, but like he wouldn't have been able to run away like if it was burrowed under. Like, it doesn't quite add.
The dude's an outdoorsman. He knows he knows his woods. He knows his sounds, and it sound. He's like, something's walking here. I'm looking right at it. It should be 10 feet from me, and there's nothing there.
Yeah, and dog like, that'd be so terrifying just standing there. It gave me chills when he told me that. And he's like, we could just hear it coming, and it should have been right in front of us, and it wasn't, and it was still coming.
What the fuck is that?
Man. I feel better myself knowing that it could have just been a phantom chicken and not some terrifying camouflaged
UFO. Be real. Did you just make this up to save him from a 2-foot predator? Is that what you just made this up?
I Googled Wisconsin cryptids, and there was a site that said 7 legendary Wisconsin monsters, and number 2 is phantom chickens.
Hey,
I didn't make it up.
Okay.
If you can have a Bigfoot, why not have a phantom chicken?
Why not?
There's weird shit out there, man.
I mean, people raise chickens everywhere. I think every county in the United States like raises chickens somewhere.
Hey, listen, so traumatic. Like, there's a lot of traumatic deaths in chickens, so you know there's a lot of potential lingering spirits.
Yeah, people are not. Well, I mean, some are, but many are not very easy going on the chickens when they kill them.
Sounds like walking. That's the only thing I'd like. The only other prosaic explanation I could think of is something less dramatic is just like freezing, refreezing. Like maybe there's some trees popping, sap popping. Like
not enough rhythm, though. Not
that rhythmic. Step, or we talk about Bigfoot cloaking, right? And we made a joke earlier about him being as light on the snow like Legolas.
He has got elf feet.
That was a joke. Is that real? They leave footprints
sometimes. Maybe if he jumps or he wants to leave a footprint, he leaves one. He presses it in.
He stomps one and then tiptoes away.
Yeah, maybe he poops peppermint candies. I don't know. Could be anything.
Oh, Dan.
Everyone knows he poops beef jerky.
All right, another caller. Hello, Cosmic Channel.
What's going on, man?
Hey,
what's going on? How we doing?
Doing pretty good, brother. Trying to beat the heat here. How about yourself?
Yeah, same. So, I'm Kyle from Massachusetts, and I have an aerial phenomenon story for you guys.
Yes. UAP.
So it's a little red light that I've been seeing. Well, seen it twice, but this one story. I'll go back to. I live near a lake, and so I was out fishing once on this, and with my cousin, and it's getting dusk time, and I see this bright red light. Looks like an airplane coming straight at us, but it's red, so I'm like, it's probably a plane, thinking nothing of it, and then wait a little bit. I don't see any, it's not changing either. Usually, like, the headlights, if you get closer to you, it'll change the angle. You can kind of see it, if you know what I mean? Like, it'll get less dim. It doesn't do that. It's still staying bright. I'm like, man, whatever. Still thinking nothing of it. Tell my cousin to kind of look at it. We're not really fishing anymore. We're kind of just sitting in the boat. It gets closer to us to the point where we should hear it. I don't hear anything. And it's still as bright as the sun. It's fucking real bright. And then I don't hear it. I don't see any of the radar lights or anything. So now it's getting kind of odd. And now it's going really slow, like kind of slowed down. It's coming in a straight line towards us, which is also weird because I live near Logan, but I'm used to the planes and the way they fly. Nothing really comes that direction. So I'm waiting for it to get overhead of us so I can see outline of the plane or whatever. There's no outline. And then the minute it gets directly overhead of us, it changed to a white light. And then it continued staying a white light the rest of the way till it got past the trees. But, I mean, it was going super slow, too, like slower than a plane should be moving. Like, probably as, like if you saw like a satellite in the sky, kind of, like how slow they look compared to a plane.
Yeah.
Traveling that, but at an elevation. No noise either. That was another thing. Yeah, absolutely quiet as can be. So I'm not sure what the heck that was, but I know we got some listeners that know like more about planes and stuff. Maybe if someone knows what the heck it was.
Well, I'm trying to think. I'm like, you know, like, because you know, if it was just doing the slow drift over, I mean, we hear lots of stories of UFOs doing that. So I'm not gonna just say it wasn't what you saw wasn't some sort of UFO. Well, it was a UFO, but like an alien craft. But you know, a lot of times we see those that like that rapid movement that just doesn't make sense. Like you know, tracking back and forth, stopping, starting, going. So if it was just drifting. You know, my brain kind of goes like, could it have been possibly some kind of drone? And it was just high enough that you couldn't hear it.
Right. I know. It just, the only thing that would throw me off from that is how bright this was, because like, I've seen drones. I actually have one, and I know, other than the military drones, I don't know what those would look like, but the thing was so bright. It was like staring at a plane's headlights, but it was red. And then it changed color too, which was weird. Like, the only way a drone will change color like that is if you flip it around the minute you're over us, which I guess could be possible, but I don't know how they would see us if it's dark out.
Yeah, I don't know. And then if you're weird. Like, if you're having that kind of like those, that bright of lights on a drone, it would have to be quite a big light, which would mean it would have to be quite a big drone, which would then mean it should, you should hear it or hear something.
Right. I have no clue what this was, and it like couldn't have been one of the Chinese candles or anything, because that's what I first thought.
Right.
But it changed white, so I don't know. I don't know what the hell I saw. But that's my quick little story for you guys.
Yeah, that's a UAP right there.
Yep, for sure. Hey,
the odds are the government wouldn't even be able to explain what you saw if they saw it. So.
Yeah, they won't.
And give you some random excuse and like, send you on your way.
I heard that the government was supposed to come out this week or like today or yesterday or something with
they did.
More.
Yep,
on.
They did.
Okay, yep. I didn't have to look into
you
that.
You can look up the whole 9 pages.
Yeah, 9 pages long. Basically,
PDF. Was there anything in particularly good on that?
The only thing interesting is that of 144 cases, they could only explain away one.
Well, and they did say there was a bunch that did exhibit advanced aerial propulsion.
Propulsion, yeah.
That's all they said, though. That was the end of the explanation.
I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't nothing. It just wasn't like, there was no bombshells in there. Nothing dropped.
Space news.
Yeah. Awesome.
All right. Well, you guys have a good night.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for the call.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Boom. UFO. I would kill to see any type of UFO. I don't care what.
Ugh.
Even in the end, I could explain it away. But the mystery was there for a bit. I'm in for that even. Oh, man. The lines are popping on Cosmic Channels tonight. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Hello, Zell. This is Burmeister.
Oh, Burmeister.
Oh, Burmeister.
Well, let me tell you something, bastard. Brother. I'm also from Wisconsin, and Mike, it was me, Austin. It was me all along. How's it going, guys?
Doing well.
Good, man.
Hey, I had a story for you, but I'm a little curious. Did you see Goatman on your Wisconsin list there, Braden?
Honestly, it probably was. I didn't even scroll down past two because I read the Chicken Man or the Phantom Chickens, and I was like, well, this lines up perfectly.
Yeah. I've heard of Goatman before, definitely.
Goatman is a Maryland thing. Wisconsin, maybe he's migrated since then.
It's also a BC thing because I remember hearing about the Goatman when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah. There was also like a hybrid wolf bear type thing too. I like sent you guys email about that like long before I became the meme king, but you never read it in the Randomatron, so it must have got lost.
Oh, it's probably if you throw it back in there, I'm sure it'll pop up to the front. We get lots of emails.
Oh no, I get it. Yeah, totally. So I had a story for you guys. It's a little different than cryptids and UFOs. Personal story, not as crazy as the whole John Cena murder suicide thing, but
right. You're gonna take a few minutes off making memes and tell us a story. Is what you're saying?
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm on break. I'm on break right now.
Oh, perfect.
I'm on lunch.
All right, brother.
Well, hurry up and tell your story and get back to work.
Yeah, get back to work.
right on. So surfing in your Waverly Hills there. That was my favorite one this week.
That's good.
Yeah, so my story, actually personal story happened to me, actually happened in 2018. So if Mike is actually listening to this, he probably remembers this because it was a big thing that happened in Wisconsin. It's a Tuesday, it's July, just got done grocery shopping, put all, you know, put everything in the fridge and the freezer, laid down to take a nap, woke up because I heard some commotion outside and thinking nothing of it. Like this, I live in this town called Sun Prairie. It's like right outside of Madison, Wisconsin. And, I'm thinking it's just another parade because we have like 7 parades a year for some reason. So I live right off the main drag there on Main Street. So I thought it was something like that. So I kind of wake up. You know, if you wake up from a nap and you were kind of drinking the night before, you're still kind of out of it. Oh, you guys know that.
Yes. You're familiar.
And yep. Yeah. So I'm kind of like confused, walking to the window, looking out the window. And all of a sudden, like, I hear the commotion, and I just see all these people running down the street in the opposite direction. And it's like straight out of a movie, like Godzilla or something, you know, right. Where it's like,
sure.
You're just like, what then the then heck you heard are the people running from?
Yeah.
That sound. Yeah, but I'm like half out of it, so I'm confused. I'm just like watching these people run, and I'm like processing, like, should I run too? Like, what's chasing them? Maybe there's like an act, you know, first thought it's like active shooter or something, but it's completely random. And next thing I know, like, as I'm pondering what this could be, the whole building just shakes. And literally enough that, like, it threw me on the ground, and all the windows in my building, they actually blew out. So I don't know if you're on the chat right now, but I just shared a YouTube link of exactly what happens. So if you want to bring that up and see that, I was the entertainment director at a bar, literally a kitty corner across the street, and there was a gas leak, and it had gone into the sewers. And it was like literally under Main Street of Sun Prairie. And do you guys see the link there? I just submitted that.
On YouTube?
In the YouTube chat, yeah. Just hit send.
I don't see it, but
I don't know if you can see that.
I don't think it popped up.
Refreshing.
It didn't pop up yet?
Refreshing here. Gotta get a glimpse of this warlock.
Yeah, I want to see
it. hit send again there. Hopefully that pops up there for you. Maybe I'm a little bit delayed. But anyway, so apparently some contractor hit a gas line and then called the authorities. And I was asleep, so nobody... I guess the firefighters came through and, like, evacuated downtown, but I was out of it, so I didn't hear anybody knocking on my door or anything. And, yeah, that's what happened, basically, across the street. Exploded, and, like, the whole building shook, all the windows out. I was still in the building. All these people were running away because they were the evacuated people that... I guess they didn't know where they were supposed to go, so firefighters were telling them to run because it was all under the sewers and building up. So that was actually the bar that I was the entertainment director at, so I did, like, all their, you know, their entertainment stuff. And I didn't realize it yet. I just grabbed my dog and I grabbed my cat. And I don't know why, but I grabbed a thing of litter for some reason. Just the shit you don't really think about. Like, the stuff you don't think about. Like, have you guys ever seen Pee Wee's Big Adventure?
Yeah.
The scene where there's the fire in the pet store and he goes in and saves all the animals, even the animals that he hates, like snakes. That's... I was described by my friend who saw me running down the street with my dog, cat, a cat carrier, a thing of litter, and just like all this random shit because I didn't know what was happening. And I'm just like running, and like you could like breathe the gas fumes in, or you know, whatever they put in the natural gas to smell it. So it was like after the windows exploded, like you could smell it in the building. And yes. I thought, I didn't know what happened yet. I didn't know what building blew up. I just started running. I was running. And I basically took off, and not even thinking about it, like, I normally don't park my car behind the building. If I had I done that, like, all my windows would have been blown out.
Right.
But I actually parked on the side for some reason that day because I had a lot of extra grocery bags. So I started my car, which you probably should never do, but I didn't know what was happening. And I drove, like, two blocks down the street, like, left the AC on, let my dog in the car, ran back in to, like, get my other cat. And like came running out, and just like all the gas fumes and everything was like crazy. So next thing I know, I'm like looking around trying to figure out what happened, and I turn around and see that this was the bar that I'd worked at for all these years, called the Bar House, that blew up.
Shit.
And the owner, who was a friend of mine, was actually also a volunteer firefighter, and my other friend who worked there, who lived across the street, he was trying to get in to get his dog out of the building across the street, but nobody would let him go. And he knew the owner of the bar as well. The owner of the bar came down, and he was off that day, but he came down because he's a firefighter, and it's, you know, he's there to help out. And he told my friend to wait out front. He's like, hey, wait out front for me. I'll help you go get your dog, because nobody else would help him. And he went into the bar, and there's actually security footage of my friend, like, walking around. And he's out front, and basically, like, he walks away into the other direction, and everything explodes. So, like, he's on the security footage. So he's getting hit with bricks and shit, and, like, he lost hearing in one ear. Oh, and Jesus. He never got his dog out for, like, another 2 days or whatever. Like, his dog was stuck up in there getting all the smoke and everything in the window because it was directly across the street. And basically, the guy who was supposed to help him go in the building, when he went back in for a last time, I don't know what he was going back in for, but when he came back out, like, everything just blew out to the side of the door that he came out. And he was the only one who lost his life, but it was a pretty crazy day.
No kidding. So, it never posted in the chat there. What was the event called? Can I search for it?
Yeah, it's under Dream Day Entertainment. If you search Sun Prairie Gas Explosion.
Sun Prairie?
Sun Prairie Gas Explosion. Yeah, it'll pop up. There's like a 57-minute dash cam video. There's a bunch of different drone footage, too. It looks like an old Call of Duty like map where like Chernobyl, like afterwards. It was crazy. I was out of, I couldn't go back to my place for like a couple months. I had to go live with my mom for a while. So it was like a crime scene and they were investigating and yeah, I had to buy like all new clothes and yeah, it was pretty crazy. All the groceries were like trash when I came back. Like there mice had moved in the building. Like it was bad.
Wow.
Oh dude, I found it. I found it. I'm going to play it here.
Yeah. Post it on the video, man. It's pretty crazy.
Watch
like
this thing.
Still like fireworks and stuff still freak me out today. Like some guys driving by. Like,
oh shit.
I'm like kitty quarter into that. So like holy. I'm to the left across the street. So basically the business across the street and the house across the street caught fire from all the fireballs and they all burned down.
Boom. Holy fuck.
Big explosion.
Yeah, it was crazy too because like down Main Street, it only broke certain businesses' windows. So I don't know if it was like the integrity of the windows or like the brand of windows they used. But there were certain windows that blew up and certain that it skipped. And all of our windows in our hallway blew up and like it literally threw me to the floor. Like it freaked me out. I had no clue what was happening. Wow.
That's an insane explosion.
You see when the action stars are running and the explosion happens and they go flying in the air. That shit ain't fake.
Yeah, no, that's a real video. Yeah.
It happens.
Hey, Burmeister, thanks for calling in, buddy. And thanks for keeping that Facebook group just interesting with all these memes.
Just jacked with the memes.
Hey, man, you got it. Love you guys. You know that.
It's a pleasure being your muse.
Yeah.
All right, peace.
All right, thanks, brother.
Take care, yep. Burmeister.
Later, Dan.
That was a fucking explosion and a half right there.
Yeah.
The lines are popping off tonight. Holy. I also think this is the most people we've had once streaming.
This is the most, I think this is the most viewers. Actually, well, I think on the holiday party we had more, but we planned that
but
one.
But for Cosmic Channels, concurrent viewers is probably the most. So the lines are popping. It's a lottery. You got to, you know, fuck you call us. It's working. Our fuck you campaign has worked.
Also, Instagram
it's
Live, T-minus.
Yeah, you T-minus just swear at people and then they call you. All right, I think this will be the last call of the night. Let's bring him in. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Hey, this is Andy Bobandy Jorgensen on Discord. Woo! First time caller.
What's going on, Andy Bobandy?
Wait, didn't you just have a kid?
Yeah, 2 days ago.
Hey, congratulations.
Yay.
Thank you.
Everything's good?
We just got home. Yes, sir.
Awesome, man. Good to hear.
We're good. Mm-hmm. Yep. I got a little horse ghost story.
Let's hear it.
I'm calling from West Virginia. This happened here. But it started with my dad. He works for a chip company. He was working a store. The store manager talked to him, said he had a horse he couldn't take care of no more. We lived on a farm. So we went to his farm, and he said there's some wild stuff that goes on there. Backdrop of the story was it was a horse farm before the people we got the horse off from, and they had about 7 or 8 horses there, and they pretty much just let them run around, and all of them died in the field. So when they got kicked out of there, these people took over. They got this big horse. Well, this guy couldn't take care of his horse no more. So when we get to his farm, we get there, we talk to the owner of it, and then his mom was there. She was a psychic, or she could just sense ghosts around. So every time they take a picture of this horse, there'd be 7 orbs all the way around the horse when they take the pictures, and she swears she senses it, that it was horses from the past life that got killed there.
Right.
And then we brought the horse home, about a month later, they came over, took pictures with it, and they found the orbs followed the horse all the way to our farm. So, I mean, it was a little crazy that, like, something like that could
happen.
The
horse's name was Ghost Rider. That's true.
Ghost horses.
I wish, but I just think it's crazy how like they actually followed the horse like they were protecting him.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I mean, horses are herd animals. So I mean, I'm not sure how close these horses were, you know, what the living conditions were on that farm where they were before that horse came to yours, but I don't know, possibly could be something like that.
Yeah, but I feel like they were still around when they had that horse and it just passed on to our farm.
Could very well be.
It was pretty wild.
Weird.
Or you named the horse Spirit.
Yes.
That's a good one too.
Yeah.
Ghost Rider's cool.
Horse passed away a while back.
R.I.P. So horse.
He ain't around no more, but he was a good horse.
Horses are they're similar to like dogs, and like they become so affectionate and like become like
smart
and become a best friend, and they live twice as long.
Pretty much. Yeah.
I think mules are smarter though. I think donkeys technically are smarter.
Donkeys?
And horses. I think donkeys are pretty smart.
Dude, donkeys are the fucking badasses of the pack, man. They like stomp down coyotes so fast.
They're truckers.
Oh yeah.
They're troopers.
Awesome. Hey man.
Yeah, thanks
for the story.
Calling in for that. Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
And Andy Bobandy, try to get some sleep because Lord knows you're not going to get a lot of it.
Get some rest while
maybe
you can.
2 hours.
Call back in when you start hallucinating.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, brother.
Sounds good.
Thanks for the story.
Cheers.
Take care. Should
we
do one more
Papa.
Bonus call? Just one more quick bonus call. What do you think?
Bonus call. Bonus call. One more if you're on the line.
One more.
There it is.
Down the line.
There's the bonus call.
Fifth encore.
The encore call on Cosmic Channels. Hello.
Hi there.
Welcome.
It's Hen. I didn't think I was going to get in. Sorry. I was spacing out listening to the stream.
This is last call. Last call. Bonus call. We decided to do one more. So,
is this just Henry?
Okay.
Just Henry.
This is just Henry.
It's like Cher.
Yeah. No.
So I wanted
Henry.
To. I'm calling from Northern California, Fortuna, land of the El Nasties. I just wanted to lay down a theory of mine, following the theme from last time I called in. And I just wanted to talk about how I think it's kind of inherently wrong to assume that we share similar anatomy with ETs. And that could explain why they're able to withstand, you know, their crazy maneuverability, because maybe G-forces aren't, you know, a big deal to them. They could be non-carbon based. They could be, you know, potato men already. They could be mashed potato men already, you know. Maybe they don't
goop.
Have to deal with
just
G-forces.
Goop back and forth in the ship.
Yeah, exactly. They could be goop boys. Or they could be something, you know, maybe their civilization has advanced enough to the point where they've pretty much, you know, kind of like transhuman, where they've gone all digital.
Right.
So it's not a matter of they have organic bodies, and that would also explain how the heck they've gone across, you know, space. Because, like you guys have said plenty of times, organic material does not fare well with long-term space travel.
No,
that's
not
true.
At least how we know it. That theory.
To me. It kind of ties in with, you know, we use our frame of reference for, you know, when we're looking for stuff in outer space, we're looking for radio waves, which is our technology that we understand. And I think that kind of ties in with, you know, from our frame of reference, we're thinking in terms of what we understand, both technology and anatomy. So if we're thinking more in terms of, well, first off, they might not even be carbon based, and second off, they're obviously going to be more technologically advanced than us, then you know, you can kind of give a lot of these things the benefit of the doubt in terms of, well, obviously it's not going to make sense to us because we don't understand the technology to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, the thing where, you know, I get stuck up on is still, though, there's the fact of, like, you know, we can say that, like, you know, yeah, their bodies, you know, are maybe completely different than our understanding, but there's still the fact of, like, you know, some of these ships are transmuted where we see them go from air right to water, and it's like that thing is like, well, what could these things possibly be made at? Because if you hit the water at high enough speeds, the surface tension of the water is like concrete, like just as hard. Mm-hmm. So like if you're hitting these things,
yeah,
you would
sure.
obliterate your craft. So it's like, you know, they're obviously using propulsion techniques and something that it, you know, to go not even splash down, right? We're talking about perfect dives sometimes into the water, some of the videos mm-hmm. of these things. So it's I yep. do agree it's probably not biological, but like lately, you know, after listening to like Mike Masters and stuff, I'm starting to lean towards like maybe it's just us. Maybe it is just us from the future, and it's time travel. And the reason we see them moving this way is because they're folding time, and it's like it's just how we're perceiving this propulsion system where they're for not sure. even really propulsion.
Like, no, or like if they're that, say they are, they're probably not, you know, they're not the same biological makeup as us, let's say. So that allows them to traverse space and time. Mm-hmm. But their craft, their propulsion may be like that, like, you know, reversing gravity. So when they seems like they plunge into the ocean, there is no ocean there. It's like being displaced as they go. You know, if they can go that fast in the air, because air is just like, if you fly a craft in air, it will heat up. So if you go really yeah. fast, it's going to
some sort of zero friction.
Yeah. So
something that is preventing the molecules outside from interacting with the actual exactly. surface of the craft, and which would explain
because that would explain
pretty much everything.
That would explain how they would go so fast through air. Because if you're to yeah. take some of these calculations, like, oh, it's going 18,000 miles per hour. You're like, if that's like mm-hmm. a meteorite hitting the atmosphere and exploding, because like it hits like just a little bit of air and that thing just combusts. But if you have the tech to displace everything around you, so there is actually nothing there, maybe that's it.
Yeah, and that would explain the whole, you know, if they're traveling through space, dealing with any sort of debris in space, and then going to an atmosphere, and then obviously going transmedium to water, you know, maybe with their technology, none of that matters because nothing can actually interact with the outside of their yeah. craft.
Could be that.
Well, that's a good point. And then maybe when you know, we've heard people saying about like these crafts entering and exiting the hollow earth, people are just saying that, but really these things, it doesn't matter. Like it doesn't matter where they fly. They just, they're going right through anything. It doesn't matter. So maybe that's where that kind of theory pops up from.
I like the theory. I think, yeah.
Hey, that was a good encore call.
Great encore.
Thanks. All right.
100%. Thanks, Just Henry.
Thanks for having me, boys. It's been a pleasure.
All right, man. We'll talk to you. Bye.
All
have
right.
a good night. Bye-bye.
We've come to the end of Cosmic Channels.
Those encore fucking, is over.
It's a good one.
It's a good one.
Hey, I know.
Lines are on fire.
I know the people in the chat are like, one more bonus call. How about this? If everyone here tells a few friends about Cosmic Channels, and then next week we double the listeners, maybe Cosmic Channel starts to go a little bit longer.
Yeah. Hey, that's fair.
I mean, we can only take so many. We can only take so many calls. This is the way she goes. So tell a friend about Cosmic Channels, about alien theorists theorizing. Get some more listeners. We take more calls.
Yeah.
Fair trade.
Hey, I like it. Fair I like it. Trade. Tell your friends. Fuck you. Listen.
Fuck you. Listen to the show.
Hey, the ad campaign's worked amazing.
It's so working.
It's tough.
Yeah.
This is the best ad. Cosmic Channels yet. Cosmic Channels is brought to you by Big Theory Productions. The Cosmic Channels are now closed.